Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well on this beautiful day. The Lord's given a beautiful week, as a matter of fact. Like I said, hope everyone's doing well. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening. I want to welcome everybody that's watching online on First Pentecostal in Villarica. Whether you're watching us live now or at a later date, more than welcome. Pray for us, pray with us as we go to the Lord in prayer. Anyone on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Righty. Anyone on the left side this evening? All right, praise the Lord. Don't want to miss anybody. We'll continue to lift them up. Also like to just to bring up those that have had procedures, those that are going through all the health issues that's going forth right now. Ask the Lord just to touch each and every one. If you have an unspoken prayer request or a prayer that you didn't show by the raising of your nose and see. Ma'am? Yes, Brother Chase. Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. And also, I didn't mention, but my dad went through a procedure today, put a bunch of stitches in him, and they said he did well. So I just asked. And Elaine's brother-in-law. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and grace. Dear Lord, for this opportunity that we're allowed to come together in your name. Dear Lord, as we gather together tonight, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, may we just turn off everything that's coming against us, everything that's on our mind right now, and release it to you. Dear Lord, these prayer requests, both spoken and unspoken, Lord, I ask you to strengthen the families that have lost a loved one, dear Lord. Those that are in nursing homes, assisted living, dear Lord, strengthen them. Those that, as we've testified, that's been brought forth recently, those that are going through procedures, Lord, those that are having testing done, dear Lord, we're placing each and every part of our situations and our health into your mighty hands. Dear Lord, we thank you. We love you. Lord, we ask you just to give us that peace, that love that you've always shown for us, dear Lord. Just let us find that comfort in your holy name. Lord, we welcome everyone watching our service tonight. Lord, may they feel your holy presence, dear Lord. Now we ask you to bless our pastor, strengthen him and his family, dear Lord, and we just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Let's give everybody a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. We just love the Lord this evening. You may be seated if you don't. Well, you don't have to. We're going to sing. I'm a little out of the loop. My mind's just going crazy all of a sudden. Turn to page 57. Amazing Grace. We want to sing that. I've been just really thinking about the Lord today. Had an opportunity just for him and I to have some quiet time. And for his love for me. And I know it. And I know so many feel the same way. And if the world would realize how much he loves them. Praise God. Amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Lost, but now seated if you can. Praise the Lord. You know, we're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering and then call on some special singers. I don't want to run through it too fast. I really want us to think about everything that God has done for us, or if you in each and of your situation. I can't speak for yourself or testify for you, except those stories has been brought forth to us. But as we think about life as we're going through these journeys, and if you read in Psalms and you read the intro to a lot of the chapters there in Psalms, it talks about it being a song of praise and played on the harp or on an instrument. If you read so many places in the Bible, so many things, it is a story, and it's something that you can just praise and worship God with. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord just to bless our... Yes, Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord for all His blessings. I think we were talking about this Sunday about all the little things that God does for us. And I just want to thank Him for all the little blessings every day that I see that He bestows upon our family. Because I think there's a song that says, if it matters to us, it matters to the Master. And there's so many little things that we think, you know, are little things that He does for us every day. But I thank Him for all of it. I thank Him for everything He does for me.
Just suppose God searched through heaven. He couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed. Place called
Thank you.
The sun, the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands for the valleys, the ocean, the river, and the sands. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong. So when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands.
Walks right. And aren't you even more thankful he knows us and loves us anyway? Amen. What immaculate love Father has for the children. Amen. I'm going to try a blast from the past, I guess. I've kind of been thinking about some songs of yesteryear. 202, if you want to sing with me. Songs like this kind of take me back to Little Rock Mark Church, and before service tonight we were playing a song. I forgot the name, but Sister Brenda Montgomery used to sing that song, Build My Mansion Next Door to Jesus, and said, I don't care who lives beside me just as long as I live by Jesus, by the throne. And it just kind of took me back. So this one says, I'll live in glory. I mean, he's planning on going. I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days. Watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me, that's me one more time. I'll live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I tell and sing love story there on high. There with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I want to be of service along this pilgrim way. Lost to Jesus, as fervently I pray, as day by day I travel, I'll keep them ever nigh, live with them forever, in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory, by and by. I'll tell and sing love story, there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory, by and by. The end I know is nearing, by faith I look away, to yonder home supernal, land of endless day. I'll cling to him forever, and look beyond the sky, spend the endless ages in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory, by and by. I'll tell and sing love story, you. Forward to the day when this old body goes back to the dust of the earth and that soul is set free forevermore to live in a prepared place. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Man, if you're blessed, give the Lord praise tonight. Amen. We are blessed. We're blessed in spite of circumstance, in spite of situations that may arise in our life. We have another day. Amen. We have a chance to come and gather together and glorify and praise the Lord. And as my daddy used to say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. If we're and then he would say so. It's so good to be here. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of James tonight. In the fourth chapter of the book of James, and I trust and hope that you are having a good week. Summertime is officially here, in case anybody was wondering. It hadn't been summer until the 21st, I understand. I don't know what you call those hot days of the last 2 weeks, but I thought summer was already here, but I found out that summer is officially here, so rest assured that, the schedule is right now, so it can begin to be hot now, if it hadn't already been. In the book of James, chapter 4,
and verse number 7. I hope you're there, but I'm not. There we are. James 4 and 7. James writing said, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I'm going to read that again. I want that to sink into us tonight. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, your grace, your abundant love. Thank you, Lord, for the desire that you've given us to gather here tonight, God, and worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for those who are here tonight. Father, our hearts and prayers go out to those who are in need tonight, those who are sick, those who are afflicted, those in the hospitals, the nursing homes, those that are sick and shut in. Father, we pray, God, that your healing power would reach to each and every need tonight. Lord, I pray, God, too, that you would send revival in the land. I pray that you would stir hearts and souls and call those who are lost, God, call them to an altar of repentance. Father, we remember them tonight and pray, God, that they'll make things right before it's everlasting too late. And Father, I humbly ask tonight, God, you just lead and guide in this service. Lord, that you'll anoint these lips of clay, God, that I would speak that you'd have us to hear. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Tonight, if I had a message title or thought, it would be one that I've used very recently. And it's simply, "Don't bother me, Satan. Don't bother me, Satan." We know that the job of Satan is to prick us, buffet us, aggravate us, upset us, discourage us, and in some places even steal and kill and destroy us if he possibly can. If not physically, at least he tries spiritually. But the writer here says something very, very profound. I mean, sometimes the least words are the most profound words. Sometimes we go into a great long explanation and we lose sight or lose focus of what maybe we're trying to convey or say. But the writer here puts it in very, very plain words, easily, I think, understood. I don't think that we have to find our scripture or get a theologian to explain exactly what James was talking about, but it simply says, resist the devil. Resist. And that word, that powerful word there, is resist. Not don't argue with him. Certainly don't compromise with him. Can't do that. And really don't even fight with him. You know, Sister Jennifer sings a song, "The battle's not mine. Battle belongs to God, and let God fight the battles, because the power that is within you is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, that power over Satan and over the wiles of the devil." But sometimes the best thing to do is just basically turn him off, resist him, and the Bible says here, James says, he'll flee from you. Now, I don't know if you what you think about the word flee, but I think about flee as moving kind of fast. I don't think fleeing is a slow process. If somebody's fleeing an accident or fleeing a scene, to me, they're moving on pretty good. So the devil knows that if we resist him, we have the power to resist him. We have a shield of faith. Amen. We have an armor. We have a breastplate. We are shod with the preparation of the gospel. We have the helmet of salvation. We are equipped. Say that with me tonight. We are equipped. Now, without that equipment, it might be a different story. But God has equipped us to be able to resist the devil. Like I said, don't argue with him. In other words, why don't we learn to treat Satan like a spam call? You know, the first few spam calls that I got, they sounded pretty legit. So I'd listen to them. But I'd unrecognized them now. I know them just about. And they try the local area codes, they try that, and you block that number, and they'll put up another number, And now, don't get me wrong. I'm not calling telemarketer Satan or satanic or anything like that. But the tricks that they use are very similar to what Satan does. He'll come at you one way, and if that doesn't work, you know what? He'll go back and he'll sneak up another way. But I've learned then when they start this, you know, when they say anything, and it's like one person said, they're just the nicest people in the world. They're more concerned about my automobile than I am. And they keep calling about that warranty. But now I understand when that first thing clicks and that automated voice comes on, I don't say hello. I don't say goodbye. I just hang up. And cannot we try spiritually to do that? I believe that the body of people that are here tonight, the group of believers, have weathered enough storm, not enough storm, but weathered plenty of storms and weathered many associations or conflicts, rather, with the adversary to know that sometimes now I think we can recognize him. Maybe when we were young converts, maybe when we just got saved, maybe when we were just kind of reaching out and trying to get deeper in the Word of God, maybe sometimes we were fooled a little bit by the wiles of the devil. But I think tonight this is a group of people that pretty much know how Satan operates and know that he's not out for your welfare. Does anybody understand and know that tonight? Satan's not out for your good. He's not your buddy. He's not one that's concerned about you in any way. He just wants to trip you up. He wants to mess you up. He wants to throw stumbling blocks in your way. So as we see these things and as we come through these conflicts, we begin to recognize, and the Bible here through James says, simply resist him. In other words, if we were doing that to a person, they might call that being rude. I don't care if I'm rude to Satan. Amen? I don't want to be peaceful to him. I do not want to appease him. I don't want anything he's selling. I don't care how good he makes it sound. I don't care what kind of a bargain he thinks it is. I don't want to go down that road, and I don't want to buy anything he's selling. Therefore, I don't even want to listen to what he has to say. And many, many times, he comes at the most inopportune times. Amen. He'll hit you up while you're driving. He'll hit you up in the middle of a hard work day, or you're just really, really tired. You come in, you want to rest, and he's just right there gnawing at you and trying to aggravate you in a real, real bad way. And sometimes we want to put the boxing gloves on and give the devil a black eye. You know, I was raised where a lot of the time they'd start the service off, let's give the devil a black eye right off the start with. Well, here's the thing. If he ain't bothered me, I ain't going to look for him. I ain't going to hunt him up and try to fight him. You know, I'm just going to, if he comes, I'm going to resist him. But if you do want to give Satan a black eye, don't get in the mud with him. Don't get down on his level. Simply say this: I am blood bought. Amen. No weapon formed against me can prosper. Amen. I belong to I am a child of God, and I belong to Jesus Christ. And I assure you that that will give him a bigger black eye than anything you could tell him about yourself. Tell him about your Jesus. Amen. Don't tell him how strong you are. Don't tell him how holy you are, how righteous you are. Tell him how powerful Jesus is. And he'll have to turn and he will flee from you. So don't listen to him. Don't fight with him. Don't argue with him. Just resist him. How many has ever used lodestones or magnets? There's an attracting side and there is a resisting side. And you put those things and they'll just push him away. I was thinking about that as I was reading the scripture this week. That's what I want. When Satan even comes near me, I don't even want him in my space. Amen? In my spiritual space. And you know what? I don't have to allow him in my spiritual space. There's scripture, and we're going to talk about some scripture tonight. Six things that Satan doesn't want you to know. Come on. There's some things that are right here in the Word of God that we know, and probably we've read, and probably we've even recited. But Satan doesn't really want us to use those things. It's like having a bag full of spiritual weapons and not using them. And Satan he wants you to forget about those things. And he wants to upset you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to get you down and out and have you anxious about things and worrying about things. And if I hit anything that maybe Satan has used in his bag of tricks to try to come against us. But the Bible says here, simply resist him and he will flee from you. Amen. Six things Satan doesn't want us to know. And I know there's probably a whole lot more. Remember, this is Wednesday night. Now, we don't have a whole lot of time to go into all of those things. But I would assure you, you could probably take a month seminar and talk about the things that Satan doesn't want you to be aware of. And tonight, we're just going to talk on some basic things that you probably already know, and we just need to be aware of and maybe reminded of, maybe is the word that we need. One thing, Satan does not want you to know the truth. Have you ever heard Satan referred to as the father of liars? When I was growing up in church, I heard a lot of ministers say, he's the father of lies, you know. In other words, and you know what? From the very beginning of time, you know, he came into the Garden of Eden as a serpent and he beguiled and deceived them. How? By using lies. And that's his greatest trick. He'll come and lie. And you know what? He lies and he knows he's lying. So when he comes at that, don't listen to him. Just resist him. But he doesn't want us to know the truth. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 10. The truth is, for us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who is your adversary? Who? Who does the Bible say it is? Satan. Not your neighbor. Not your supervisor. God forbid, not your spouse. Not those around you or that would spitefully use you. The adversary uses different people sometimes, and don't. I'm not saying those people are demon possessed. That's not what I'm saying. Satan can use any opportunity he sees. He's going to grab it, and he's going to try to come against you. But be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. I know we've often used the analysis of a predator. A predator usually doesn't pick one of the animals or whatever that's in the middle of the herd. And somebody was just on Facebook, or I was talking about traveling in the middle of the herd. Amen. And using that analogy of a Christian. You know, travel with good folks, travel with saved folks. But what that's spiritually, be in the middle of the herd. Don't get left behind. Don't travel on the outskirts just to be kind of a so-called Christian or a lukewarm Christian or just kind of go along with the flow. Get in the middle of the herd. Get involved. Amen. Get in the middle of the action. And I will assure you, but when you start lagging behind spiritually, just like the lion, Satan, he's roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's going to try for the weakest. He's going to try for the one who's out there, kind of not as close as they need to be, not as strong in the spirit as they need to be. So Satan doesn't want you to know about the truth. Whom, if you resist, there's that word again, if you resist in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, it's not going to be forever, make you perfect or complete, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. How many knows that saved persons sometimes need to be established, strengthened, and settled? Many, many times I have to have the Spirit of the Lord or the Word of the Lord to speak to me and establish me in the faith, amen, and to strengthen me with the power that the Holy Ghost gives us and just to settle my nerves and settle the situation that we're facing. You see, Satan wants you in a confused state of mind. He wants you to kind of get lost from the herd mentality. He wants you to get there like it's just one-on-one, you and Satan. But you know, if you're born again, it's never one-on-one. It's you and Jesus. You need to remember that, always me and Jesus. If we're born again and the Spirit of the Lord is with us, you're not fighting that battle by yourself. You're not out there somewhere and everybody else has left you, because the promise that we have that God won't leave us or forsake us. So it's always the Spirit of the Lord that is with you. And that's what you got to fight the devil with. That's what you got to resist the devil with. Not in my power, not in our power, but in the power of the Lord. But Satan doesn't want you to know the truth. He doesn't want you to know the truth, because what the Bible says, the truth shall set you free. I mean, he's thankful for the truth, the Word of God. And when I'm talking about the truth, I'm talking about the written Word of God, amen, that God has given us, that we have access to, amen, and we can use it anytime that we want to. It's good to have these scriptures. If a scripture is especially powerful to you and one that you can identify with, and if you can't take your Bible with you all the time, put it on a little card, stick it in your pocket, stick it in your purse. I have actually put sticky notes on the dash of the car sometime because Monday morning, Satan's wide open before my eyes are. And I remember going to work, and I was talking the other day, and you know, I think everybody probably had this mentality, especially on a, if you worked outside, if it was a rainy day, and you just, you know, you're thinking, my Lord and mercy, why am I doing this? And I'd have to go to I-20 to get off of the exit at Douglasville. And there's many, many times on a Monday morning I thought, I'm just going to see how far I-20 goes. And I was just going to head on out, you know. But then you come to the realization, no, I can't do that, you know. And then you turn in reluctantly and you face that day. So, you know, so many times we have to just say, you know what, I resist that thought. I resist that devil. I resist that discouragement. I'm going to be blessed today. I'm going to find something to be thankful for. And Satan doesn't want you to know the truth, but the truth will set you free. Another thing he does not want us to know, and this is something that every Holy Ghost person filled with the Spirit of the Lord ought to know. The Bible says you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We have that power. It is one and the same with the Spirit of God that dwells within us. It doesn't come without power. Amen. Doesn't come without a measure of faith. The Bible plainly tells us that we have a measure of faith and we have power. Now, are we going to exercise that faith and are we going to exhibit that power? Are we going to melt away when Satan comes against us and back us in a spiritual corner when we know that we've got the power within us to overcome him, but for some reason we're letting him bully us around? No, Satan doesn't want you to know about the power, that never-ending power, that reserve of power that you have. Even on your worst day, you still have that power to resist the devil. And Luke chapter 10, verse number 9, the Bible tells us, St. Luke 10, 19, behold, I give unto you, turn to your neighbor and say, that means you. You've got power. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Little words mean a lot. All, A-L-L, all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's powerful. That's the words of Jesus Christ himself, saying, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Satan doesn't want you to know about that power. And if you know about it, he doesn't want you to use it. He doesn't want you to exercise it because he will have to flee from you in a hurry when we begin to exhibit the power that God has given us. Amen? And you're not doing it in the name of yourself. You're doing it in the name of Jesus. You know, as I said on the onset of this message tonight, if you want to give Satan a black eye, remind him of the promises. Remind him what Jesus said. And remind him that Jesus has given us power and that we can rebuke him in the name of Jesus. I used as an analogy one time, going back to I guess they still use them, the blackboards. And, you know, the mean guys, what we do when we're erasing the board, we'd scratch down the board, you know, and it's an alarming sound. And it just, if you have that thing, you just can't, makes cold chills. To me, that's the way Satan does when he hears the name Jesus. He just can't stand it. He cannot stand against the name of Jesus. There's power in that name, and we can use that name to rebuke Satan. So he doesn't want you to know about the power that we have. Thirdly, he doesn't want you to know or remember about the promise. I mean, he knows that we have a promise. Man, this is not our home. This is a temporary place. This is a journey that we're traveling through. We're going to have the promise of a better time, a better place, a glorious place prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 12 through 14. Colossians chapter 1, and let's begin with 12 and go through 14. Talking about the promise. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. Key word there, inheritance. And we are to be partakers of that inheritance. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, I want to remind us again, one of Satan's greatest tools and one of his greatest schemes is to constantly bombard us about our past sins. He wants us to remember those, and he wants us to be guilty. He wants us to be burdened by those sins. But according to the Word of God and according to the promise that the Lord has given us, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Aren't you thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ has washed that place of those sins away in your life and given you the promise of eternal life? But Satan doesn't want you to understand that. He wants you to be burdened down. He wants you to still feel ashamed. He wants you to feel low about your past or the things that you conducted in your past, all the things which are under the blood of Jesus Christ. So again, if Satan, and here's the thing about it. We're not really talking about Satan grabbing us by the nape of the neck and making us do something. He knows that wouldn't work. Amen. He knows that we'd identify. But what he does in his deceitfulness, in his ability to beguile us, in his ability to masquerade as something that's good, he'll try to come at us in another way. This is where we need to understand that we have the power to say, don't bother me, Satan. Don't bother me. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. I'm not listening to you. I know you're trying to make it sound good, but I'm not listening to you. It's not going to work. Amen. And he'll still try. He'll go away even with Jesus. He just left him for a season after he came and tried on three different occasions to get him to do something. And Jesus kept using the word on him. Amen. Isn't that powerful? We can still use the word on him today. So he doesn't want us to remember the promise. He doesn't want us to think about the promise. But if you look at him when he comes and look at him spiritually when he comes, say, you know what? I promised a home in heaven and you're not going to get to go. You better give me your best shot now because I'm going to leave you. Amen. When Jesus comes or when he calls, amen, I'm going home with him. And that's the promise I have, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Not because of anything I did, but because of what Jesus Christ did. Satan doesn't like to hear that. He doesn't like to hear you talk about the cross. He doesn't like to hear you talk about resurrection. And he certainly doesn't like to hear you talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, because all those things make him understand and know he is defeated already. But if he can beguile you and deceive you, he'll certainly try. The fourth thing that Satan doesn't want us to know is that there's no need to fear. How many knows that fear is a powerful, powerful force? Things look different in the daylight than they do in the dark. Sometimes light reveals that there's no need to be fearful. When the past night, that same situation looked mighty fearful. I don't know if you remember growing up and seeing shadows in the room at night, and the wind would blow and the limbs would hit against the side of the window. And as a small boy, you look over and it looked like a monster's fingers, you know, touching that. And the next day, it was just a limb that brushed against. No harm in it whatsoever. The light brought out the reality. But Satan likes to operate in the darkness. Amen. And I'm not talking about daylight and darkness now. I'm talking about spiritual darkness. He wants you so discouraged. He does. He wants you so anxious about things. He wants you upset. He wants you in a frame of mind where you're not realizing that you do have the truth and you do have the power and you do have the promise and there's no need to fear. He wants you withering away in a spiritual corner somewhere, wondering what he's going to do to you next. That's all he is a bully. And you need to resist him. You need to understand. So these are things he doesn't want you to know. So he doesn't want you to know that you have no need to fear Satan. Amen. Even if he comes as an angel of light or ever how he presents himself to you, we don't need to fear him. Let's go over to the Old Testament, and this one in Isaiah chapter number 41. Probably most of you can recite it. But it says in chapter 41 of the book of Isaiah, chapter number 10, fear not. That ought to be enough right there. But it says, fear thou not, for I am, who is I am? Who did he say, tell him sent, that sent you? To tell him, I am. Amen. Not I was or I will be, but I am. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is a powerful, powerful promise and a verse that we ought to keep near and dear to our hearts. Might be a good one to put on a sticky note when you're kind of feeling down and out and Satan's trying to beat you up, and use the scripture there. Fear not, for I am with thee. So Satan doesn't want us to know that we don't have to fear when he comes against us. Amen? Because greater is he that is within us than he that comes against us. Now, this one kind of steps out of the line, but it's something, too, that Satan kind of definitely does not want us to know and does not want us to understand. But it's something that's very important as a Christian and as our Christian walk is. And we know that we're forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that if we repent and ask Jesus Christ to come into our life as Lord and Savior, then he fills us with his Spirit, and we know that we're sealed and the Lord is going to honor his promise to us. But there's something, too, in the Word of God that talks about reaping what we sow. And my best analogy of that is a person who's committed a heinous crime and has been tried and convicted by his peers and has been given the death sentence. And this is a hypothetical situation. And a minister comes by, somebody from the church, and I believe that that person can be born again, but even though the terrible crime that he has committed, he or she. And according to the Word of God, God is no respecter of person. That God, again, I'm not saying God condones what he did, but I'm saying God can save him. I believe that the precious blood of Jesus Christ was not just for the goody-goody folks. Amen. If it was, I'd been left out a long, long time ago. But let's say he gets true religion, he gets received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, goes on and gets baptized, and what all the things that a Christian, and he's living a Christian life, I still believe that he reaps what he sows. If he's been convicted, then he probably must meet that thing. I'm not saying God could release, God could change. He could change the sentence, he could do that. But again, that's a kind of an analogy of we do reap what we sow. God saves us, but if we live a very rebellious life and we've done a lot of things that maybe hurt our flesh, for one thing, to tear our flesh down, understand the flesh is going back to the dust of the earth. But the Bible doesn't, Satan doesn't want you to know that we reap what we sow. And what he does, he says, oh no, you can do anything you want to. God's a loving God. You can do, God's going to love you and no matter what you do. But that's false prophecy. That's not what the Bible says. Now, I know the blood of Jesus applied to our life covers the sin, but we need to be very, very careful what we sow. Because the Bible says, what you sow, you shall reap. So Satan doesn't want you to know that. In other words, basically, it's all about accountability. And we find that in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8, if we can turn there. The book of Galatians chapter 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived. Who would deceive us? The adversary. The deceitfulness is not coming from anybody except from the spirit of Satan or the adversary. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want to go ahead and read verse number 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So reap to ourselves good things, not terrible things to the flesh. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Amen. Do good to everybody, especially those your brothers and sisters. But Satan doesn't want us to know that sometimes we reap what we sow. In other words, he wants you to just live a life of leisure, pleasure. If it feels good, do it. That's one of Satan's greatest false advertisements. Amen. And we should know that as Christians. And finally tonight, in verse number 6, and this is probably the one thing that we do practice, and we do know this, and probably we use this. There's probably not a day goes by that I'm not reminded that I need to use this, and that's the grace of God. It is beyond my ability to even comprehend, but I am so grateful for it. I'm so appreciative of it. Man, and the older I got and the more I read into the Word of the Lord, it makes me even more thankful of the love, the immaculate love, the agape love that God has for his people, for we are his creation. And he, as I say often, it's not his will that any should perish. He doesn't want us to go to the bad place. I mean, he wants us to live a life of righteousness. He wants us to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, be filled with his Spirit, and live in expectation of that glorious place that he has provided for us. So the scripture that epitomizes that as much as any of them, and basically all through the New Testament, you find God's grace. You can find it in any of the Gospels, any of the epistles. You even find it in the book of Revelation. God's grace is everywhere, and it's abundant. And Satan wants you to forget about God's grace. He don't want you to be reminded of the grace of God. But again, John 3:16. I guess that does it about as good as any that I know. And that would simply be, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, I love that word because that's where I fit. I fit that. I'm one of the whosoevers. Amen. That, you know, how can you qualify to be a born again? You just need to be a whosoever. A whosoever. Amen. Whatever your name is, whatever your background is, whatever you've done in the past, you're still a candidate, amen, for salvation. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So don't bother me, Satan. I ain't got time for you. I think Walt Mills sang a song, "Ain't Got Time for You, Devil." I don't remember the rest of the words, but I remember that part too. I ain't got time for you. And we don't. We don't have time to listen to his garbage. We don't have time to listen to his sales pitch. Because it doesn't matter how flattery it is. It doesn't matter how eloquent it is. It doesn't matter how convincing it is. He's still the devil. And we knew he was a devil when we listened to him. So let's don't listen to him. And be rude to him. Just say, "Get out of here. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I ain't got time for you. Don't bother me." Try that. In fact, I tried it. I didn't whisper it. I said it out loud. I said it with such force that it even got my attention. But when he was just agitating me and aggravating me about, and I'm talking about in my mind, just things coming. And I just spoke it out loud. "Don't bother me, Satan." You know what? It worked. It worked. What did it do? It got my mind back on these six things that Satan don't like. He don't like to, he don't want us to remember the power. He doesn't want us to remember the grace, the promises and all those things of an ever-loving Father. Amen. Do you love the Lord as much as he loves you? Man, I sure am trying. I love him with all my heart, my soul, my whole body. Amen. And I'm thankful for him, and I'm thankful for you tonight. If you'd stand tonight, we'll prepare to dismiss. But before we do, know always that this altar is open. If you have a need, it does, you know, any need, whether it's physical, spiritual, or whatever it is. And another one, don't let Satan say, don't go up there, or you'll be all right. You know, that he does that a lot too. But you know, he may know that you're about to get a really good blessing, and he may know that you're about to get deliverance or whatever it is. So if you have a need, you have an issue, please understand this altar is open and we'll pray with you, because that's what part of forsaking ourselves together is, praying one for another. Amen. You know, and we always need prayer. I always tell people, if you ain't got nothing else to pray for me. Amen. I can use it. If anyone tonight need prayer, well, that's great. God bless you. We love you. Please keep those prayer requests in mind. Brother Chase, Sister Hux, and the family of the Sanchez's. That's awful that that young lady passed away and left that little 8-year-old child. But God has a plan. God has a plan. We don't sometimes understand and know his ways and thoughts are higher. Yes, sir. Okay. Let's remember that prayer. Brother Jim, if you would come and dismiss us with a word of prayer. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Hope to see you Sunday morning.
Again, let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. I don't think we can praise him enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. Again, all hearts and minds clear. Well, I also want to give you a personal invite. Those of you that are watching online, if it's still on, I just want to invite you to come have a live service with you. Come join us. And also want to invite each and every one of you to Sunday school. And be in much prayer for our vacation Bible school that's fast coming up. Praise God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, your word is powerful. Your word is so reassuring, dear Lord. Your word is so true. And Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for sharing it and giving it to us. Lord, may we walk in the direction that you'd have us to go, dear Lord, and put you first in everything that we are. Lord, now, please keep us safe. Lord, keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. Dear Lord, we thank you again for our teen class and the young people that's downstairs, dear Lord. And we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the week. See y'all Sunday morning.